Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm back with a short episode here from Dauphiné. We just finished stage four. This is just a quick episode with my roommate Alex Cataford. So there won't be much editing or stuff like that. I'm too tired to do anything like that. So I just want to introduce Alex. He's my roommate for this race, and it's the first time we actually race together. Most people offer. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So, most people in Denmark, I don't think they would know much about you. You're 27 years old. You're from Canada. And you try to say out.
Out?
Out. Yeah, the way they say it in Canada. We've been teammates for 2 years now, but we haven't raced together before now. We often train together in Girona, and you're a hard man to train with, so you're a good training buddy.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, that it's funny when we came here that we haven't actually raced together yet, because we've been, like you said, teammates for 2 years, and fuck, in Girona we actually do ride together fair bit, and like, I feel like when me and you train together, it's pretty close to racing, but
sometimes it's harder.
Yeah, but no, it's fun. But yeah, it's nice to finally actually pin on some numbers side by side and do that. So, yeah.
And maybe the last and most important thing in this introduction is that you raced the Junior Worlds in Copenhagen in 2011.
Yeah,
I won, and you came dead. Last.
I think I was dead last.
You were. I checked it.
In my defense,
I'm we talked about this before.
Yeah, I had like something was wrong. I had a puncture, and then I had like switched the bike two or three times or something like that. I also didn't know what I was doing, so I remember I like had a puncture, but still rode on the puncture for like 3K because I was a junior, and then switched the bike, but then wanted to switch the bike back, and yeah, it was pretty typical of those times, but. It was a good memory, though. It was my first race in Europe, actually.
So that's kind of shitty to go from Canada, first race in Europe, and you get... Did you race the road race as well?
Yeah, I did the road race. I think I finished. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I finished, but definitely not in the peloton. So.
Okay. So we're at Dauphiné. Stage four just finished. The setting is our room. Like... In Dauphiné, we are in France, and I don't know where we are in France.
No.
The room is a weird room. Like, we walk into the room when we get here, and there's just one double bed, and I fear that, fuck, now we have to sleep in the same bed together. And then look around, and there's actually, I don't know how you say it, it's this in English. In Danish, it's
like a loft.
In Hims, yeah, there's a loft, and... another bed up there. So I was clever in the first hotel. I gave you this big bed and I took the small bed. So you owed me the big bed. So you're staying up there.
So I was staying upstairs. I got my little like lair up there that I hang out in.
Climbing down a ladder to get to the toilet in the night.
I haven't fallen down the ladder yet. Yeah. But anyways, we change again tomorrow. So I think we probably go to some shitty campanile or something like that.
Oh,
but
man.
In France, I don't know, man. In France, often... The hotels aren't so glamorous. People think of pro racing and they think, oh, it's nice and stuff. But a lot of times we're living on top of each other in these kind of shitty hotels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 days ago, we were in a hotel where we couldn't have two suitcases open in the room. Like and there was nothing.
And only hot air coming from the AC.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So my podcast in Danish is called Rydersjagong, like rider lingo.
Yeah.
And... Every guest has to bring a word or not a full expression, but something we say in cycling.
Yeah.
Maybe you have something from Canada.
So I'm going to steal this one from my Quebecois friends. And there's this word that you say, well, two words, and you say you're à bloc. And it basically means that you're on the chopping block. So it's when you're in a race and you're really at your limit and you're about to blow and you're near the end, you say that you're vraiment à bloc.
Vraiment?
Vraiment. Really à bloc.
Ah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So, Dauphiné, how was the race so far? Anything funny happened during the stages? Any stories to tell?
Yeah, I mean, probably the word that I brought to this podcast probably sums up the Dauphiné pretty good so far, à bloc.
Yeah.
It's strong peloton here. I mean, a lot of guys kind of use this either as the preparation to go for the tour or for the selection to make the team for the tour.
Those who know they are going to the tour, they are using it as prep race, and the rest are using it as a selection race.
So it's just, it's hard, fast racing, man, right from the gun. I mean, we haven't seen crazy long time for the break to go yet, but it's more just nervous all the time. Like, it's just, everyone's just ramming their bars into your ass and stuff like that. Even, what was it, yesterday, we were chatting about this at dinner that, like, there's maybe going to be crosswinds, so 60K to go. So then every team was totally fucking stressed out. And then we basically did the last 60K of the race, lined out across the entire road, shoulder to shoulder, no one could move an inch for 60K, just nervous. Nothing happened.
In TV, it looks like we're going easy.
It looks like you're going easy, but
we're fucking flying.
Like, that's one thing. Sometimes when you watch cycling on TV, man, like, the times when it looks easy and everyone's riding side by side, trust me, we're going fucking fast and it's full stress. It's not easy. It is not really fun, so.
Yeah. I have a story to tell about Miguel Biao.
Ah.
Yeah. Because on the first day, I'm not feeling super good on the first day, and I dropped last time up the last climb. And then I think McNulty, he had some trouble or something. I don't know what it was. So when I drop, Mikkel is waiting for McNulty to try and bring him back.
Yeah.
And they pass me. And yeah, whatever, I go easy to the top, find a group, and there's a short descent until the last, like we do 1.5K more uphill. And there Miguel is on the left getting help by a fan on the road to put his chain back on, because he apparently dropped it.
Oh no.
And then I'm in a group and we pass, and then like 700 meters before the top of the real final climb, Miguel is coming. He's flying around us, like, and going all in, and I have no idea what he was going all in for, because normally at that point you're like, okay, the peloton is 3 minutes in front, I'm gonna save my legs for tomorrow. And we caught him again, and then I tried to like understand what he did, why he did it, and I still haven't understood why he was going like that. But that was, I know Miguel really well now, and that's just a typical Miguel Biao thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's just, man, we all do it at some point because we're all just racers, so it's like programmed into us to go as hard as you can. Because sometimes, you see some things and you really think, like, for example, yesterday in the sprint, we're going up the sprint and it's kind of like it kind of kicks towards the line, so there's going to be some gaps and stuff. And you see some guys who are in 60th position just going as hard as they can to stay in the bunch. And like, when you think about it, you're like, man, guys, fuck, we got 4 days in the mountains coming up. Mm. Like, the extra 10 seconds behind that you're going to be isn't going to make a difference at all. But I just think it's because we're just like hardwired to just like, just go for it. So,
but there's like 100 guys of us, or 110, 20 guys who aren't going to be anything in GC.
Yeah.
But we all kill ourselves.
Well, we still do it.
We want to hang on as long as possible.
That's the thing. You just don't want to give up.
Stupid idiots.
You never want to give up. It is stupid. Like, fuck, when you think about it, it's stupid. But in the moment, you just say, nah, fuck, I'm not going to be that guy.
Because you could, like, the story you just told at dinner today, that Michael Hepburn, he's just doing 300 watts As soon as you start, he start climbing on a mountain stage.
Yeah,
he do his own power.
Yeah,
the whole day. And if you know he's got, what was it, 300 watts
or something, or 5 watts per kilo or something like that. But then you just make it.
Then he makes time cut.
You make time cut,
and he's not in red. Like,
no, exactly.
He gets tired and exhausted, but he's not on.
You don't go. It's not. But yeah, most of us, even fuck me included, like you just hang on.
Yeah.
Even you'll be going up a climb and it's an 8 or 9K climb, and 2K in, you're just on the limit already. And like, there's no fucking way you'll make it.
No.
Like, there's 7 more K left to go, but yeah. you still go until you explode. You don't pace it ever. It's just bike racing, man.
Yeah. Okay. So today we had a TT day. And I thought it would be a good idea to talk through how a TT day is, actually.
Because
when you watch it in television, it's 16K like it was today, 16K TT, and then no more. So for many, it can seem like an easy day. But actually, it isn't. Because even when you think of all the stuff around this TT effort you're going to do, it's a long day normally.
It is. It's just like, it's a long day, and it's like a logistically just big day. Like, and it's also like, I don't know, mentally it's a lot. Cause yeah, you're right. Like you see on TV and you think that we're just going hard for whatever, 20 minutes or 30 minutes. But like you get up, you have your breakfast, but then everyone goes.
Yeah. Well, so how is your routine today? Let's do today as an example. You wake up when you have breakfast. What do you have for breakfast? You do recon, like,
so yeah, go like through, I'll give you
through the day,
like, so my day, whatever, I wake up early, so I woke up at like 7:30 today anyways. And then so normally, depending on when my start time is, but like, for example, today I was a bit after 2 o'clock, but usually your start time is mid to late afternoon, depending on where you are in the GC. So you get up, you have a little breakfast, then...
And what do you have for breakfast, actually? You have some bread, you have some granola, usually oats or rice or...
I actually like to take my TT days to have, like, oatmeal and granola and yogurt, because that's normally what I eat for breakfast. But when we're racing these stage races, usually I do rice and stuff in the morning because it's better.
What kind of granola? With chocolate or nuts?
I can't.
Or...
I have to avoid the chocolate one because if I start, I won't stop.
Yeah, it's
so I try and keep it mostly to porridge. Like when the morale is high, I can keep just porridge most of the race.
Yeah.
If the morale starts to go down, I might start tucking into the granola a bit more.
You saw the big jar of Nutella, like that good Italian organic Nutella in the kitchen truck.
But see, but for me,
I bet. I say it will be opened Saturday morning, the first mountain.
I think the morning of the first mountain stage.
Tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. Friday. Because tomorrow's hilly, but it's not a mountain stage. I think Friday morning. But for me, being North American, we love our Nutella there, but I'm a peanut butter guy.
Yeah, I'm not.
See, me, if I start a jar of peanut butter, it'll be gone in like 2 days. I can't buy it at home. And I asked my fiance not to buy it either. Because if we have it around the house, oh, fuck.
It's gone.
It's gone, so.
Okay, so you have oats and granola for breakfast on the TT days.
Yeah, usually I have something like that. And then basically, like, for example, today, because my start was at 2, you eat again at like 11 o'clock. That's one thing I find about TT days. I find that you're just eating all the time at weird times.
Yeah, because you don't have like lunch. Small amounts, actually.
Yeah, you have like small meals, but often, because like you gotta like eat 3 hours or 3.5 hours for your race. So usually you're eating at like, you have lunch at like 11:30, and then you also have a recovery at like 4 o'clock, like a meal at 4. Like, you're just eating at weird times, and you want to have like a little snack maybe an hour before your race. Like, it's just like you're just always eating, I find. And it's always about the timing of when you eat stuff. So today at 11.
You had your rice meal.
I had my rice.
Rice and eggs.
I didn't even have eggs. I just had rice and yogurt.
Rice and yogurt.
And I mixed a little yogurt and honey in the rice.
Yeah, that's because we've been doing a little bit of low fiber diet here.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of rice for breakfast. So yeah. Rice for breakfast is, I find it really heavy because I'm an oats guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mixed it together with plain yogurt
yeah.
and some honey. And then it feels like a dessert. And then you have half a kilo of dessert in front of you for breakfast. Exactly.
No, man, that's, I've been doing that for the last couple of years. Like, you mix your rice with like some yogurt, some honey, some of that Nutella sweet. Once we get to the Nut Mound stages. Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, it's fucking good, man.
Yeah.
It's super good.
So rice as your race meal.
Yeah, it's my pre-race meal. And then basically, so I ate that basically on the way to the start. It was pretty close start today. We only had like a 20-minute drive to get there.
Yeah.
Then basically right when we get there, what everyone does is, because they close the course like a couple hours before the first riders go off. So you actually go and ride the course because like you, that's the thing. Like when we do these races, you've actually never seen the course and what you're up against and the corners and where the potholes and stuff like that are and what the climbs are like. So we go and we just do a lap. Depends. Some people do this lap super easy. Some people actually go pretty hard on the lap.
I went hard today. I wanted to feel the legs. On the climb, on my recon, on the climb.
Sometimes you have
to. I was pushing 400 because I've been feeling my legs. I haven't had, you know, in Denmark we say like, it's not hole in my legs. Like, and then it's like, I feel like I needed to get some lactate in my legs to get it all pumped up.
It's a weird thing. Like, I don't know if it's, I'm sure other sports are the same, but sometimes you gotta feel it a bit to feel better. Yeah. Like if you don't do anything, you actually kind of feel a bit worse.
Yeah.
Or just like it hits you in the face faster when you actually start going hard.
Yeah.
No, but I don't push hard on the recon lap, but I definitely like, I don't ride easy. Ride like, well, for those cyclists.
You also want to feel the corners at a certain speed.
Cause you want to feel the corners and stuff like that, because if you go too easy, you take a corner, you say, oh, for sure, you can take this corner with no brakes or anything. And then you get in the race and you're like, oh, fuck, this is like,
you can stay in the bars, stay in the skis.
But actually,
and then you're
like pretty fucked. So
fuck it up, yeah.
So fuck. So then, anyways, you do a lap, ride back to the bus, get out of your kit, eat again. Usually eat a little snack.
Yeah.
Like an hour. This is usually something pretty small, like either like a gel or a banana or a bar or something like that. Before, and then you just gotta chill out for a bit. We had the French Open on TV.
Yeah,
when I forget who was playing, we were just kind of sitting there watching.
Looked
the French
Open.
Looked
like Russian names.
Yeah.
Someone was complaining a lot.
Yeah, someone was like, yeah, with the referee. So, anyways, we just kind of sit there, but it's also a bit funny because you got everyone at different, because obviously we're all off at different times. Like, some guys are half an hour before, an hour after, whatever. So, like, when you're doing your pre-ride, someone else is maybe having in their pre-race meal, and some guys actually maybe putting on his helmet to go to the start. So it's kind of
I've had days where I'm on GC and I have to start in the very last bit, and I've been sitting on the bus for 3 hours.
Oh, you can be there forever. Because if you want to do the pre-ride, it obviously closes before the first rider goes off. But then sometimes from the first rider to the last guys can be 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah.
So you just
always jump in the car behind one of the riders to also see it one more time and see it at race pace.
Yeah, you can see. But it's always, but there's just like a lot of shit going on. You got staff running around doing mechanics trying to fix TT bikes, because fuck, TT bikes are notorious for being, the mechanics hate them because they always got like 1,000 different bolts and all this kind of shit and stuff like that. So anyways, you chill out and then eventually you start. That's what I always find, it's hard when you're like, you spent so much of the day trying to relax and stuff, and then all of a sudden you start getting whatever. You got to start your warm up in maybe the next 20 minutes, and then you got to start getting like in the headspace.
Yeah.
You got to get yourself like pumped up a bit. So it's a bit hard to like.
What do you do then? You put on some music?
I usually do music.
What do you listen to?
I like rap music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, all you good North Americans, like the electro dance kind of thing we have here.
Nah, not so much.
Like, you know the I think he's Italian DJ, like classic tunes like The Riddle and these Gigi D'Agostino.
Yeah.
Woodsy had no idea who it was.
No, I don't know a single DJ. I couldn't name you a DJ.
But when you hear the song,
I probably would know
it. You would know it, but yeah. I played the riddle.
Yeah.
And he'd never heard it before.
Nah, we're different. Yeah, like I usually get like
Guillaume. He also it was one of the first races of the season. He put on some of his music.
Yeah.
And it was only this rap music, and us Europeans, we were like, "What the fuck is this shit? We don't want to listen to this." Yeah. Here, I'll be DJ.
I throw on some like MF Doom, that gets me going. Some old school, like some Outkast, that as well. So yeah. So usually I do that, and then the other thing that the thing that helps me get in the mindset is I start doing the small stuff. Like I put like my number on, and I like put my shoe covers on, and I find that kind of stuff. Then you're like, okay, it's time to race. You clean the visor of your helmet, this kind of like small shit that like really you don't have to do. Like I clean my shoes before every race, even if they're clean. But it's just like a routine thing to get me going.
And
get
I always put my right number on first.
Yeah, exactly. Like every cyclist is these like dumb little things, but it's just it's a habit, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. So then you do the warm up. Which you always feel like shit.
I felt super good in my warm-up.
Oh, really? I don't know if it's because it's the turbo trainer. I hate it. Oh, I always get on the turbo trainer. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have the worst day on my bike.
It also depends on the turbo trainer.
Yeah.
The ones we have, like the elite ones, I feel good on those.
The elite but ones with, much better than other ones I've
with
used.
With Katushi, we had Tax, and I always felt shit.
Sometimes, yeah. And sometimes, it was okay today because it was pretty breezy and not too hot, but sometimes you're just on there and it's hot.
Yeah.
And you just, your pedal stroke never feels as good. And you got people like looking at you, like beside the fence and stuff like that. I know. The warm up, I've learned that I'm going to feel like shit and I don't overthink it anymore. So, yeah.
Warm up, done. Go to the start.
Yeah, you go to the start. They check your bike, like, because there's whatever the rules for whatever your bike has to do. You go to the start. And then you hit it, yeah. And then basically you go, like, the other thing, too, is it depends, like, on the TT days, lots of people have different objectives. Like, for example, for me today, because I'm here as a Domestika helper at this race, I was actually told by the DSs to take it easy on the TT. But, like, okay, easy is a thing because, you know, we have time limits. So you need to finish within a certain time, so you still have to push, but you're not going to your limit. So, you know, for someone like me today, it's a bit less of a stressful day, but then you have either the TT specialists like you, Mads, or the GC guys who it's a really, really important effort. So then there's more stress and not stress, but, you know, like they're really going for it. So it's a bit funny, the TT days, everyone's got a different objective, you know?
Yeah.
Like
for me, there's always some kind of pressure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Finally, in Romandy, I fought. Because on the day before the TT, I was in the breakaway on this mountain stage that he won. And I had suffered through that race. It was my first race kind of like since Tirreno.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in pain all the time. And then I make it in this breakaway. And while I'm there, I'm thinking, okay, tomorrow on the TT, like Romandy finished with the TT.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is going to be the first TT in my life where I don't go full.
It is nice.
And then we get to the bus. Woodsy gets back. He's in the jersey. And I start 2.5 hours before Woods or something.
Yeah.
And then Rick, our director, he says to me, Matt, you go full tomorrow because we need some split times for Woodsy. And he go in the car behind you to see the corners.
Oh.
Ah, fuck.
Fuck.
So then I had pressure on the TT again.
Yeah, well, at least, yeah, no, it's always, yeah, it's just funny, the TT day, because it's so different, like, because whenever you would ever do a road race, like a normal stage, or a one day race, like, there's the clear, like, team goal, and everyone's together, it's really, like, this is how the team is going to operate today, this is what we're doing, we're working all together, but then TT, obviously, is individual, so some guys, like me today, don't have any pressure or stress, whereas some guys do, and it's just, so it's a bit funny, you see that on the bus and you can see the different dynamics sometimes, but yeah. So
okay, mountains is coming up. I don't feel like we have to talk much about that. It's gonna be survival, good training, hopefully some good performances, and maybe we have two guys who can do a result.
I know for sure we got two guys coming up, and anyways, like you said, it'll be good. It'll get us in shape for wherever we're going next. And
yeah, yeah.
We'll be it'll be some tough days though. I think the next 4 days it's going to take 50+ K for the break to go every day. Yeah. In my opinion.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So. Yeah. Okay. We have a bit more time in this mini Dauphiné uncut episode. So I'm going to bring in a topic from when I do this podcast normally. And give you one question here. Yeah, this is always a good one. Your craziest day on the bike.
Oh, this is a tough one, but I mean, it's not so much a funny story, but I'll probably have to go back. It was way back when I was still amateur. It was 2014. I actually got hit by a car when training on the bike. Yeah. And I got super hurt. Like I broke my neck, broke my jaw. Lost all
my teeth.
That's why
you have a scar on your
No, I got really hurt. I had to spend a week in the hospital down in, I was in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, maybe not that kind of crazy. Like an epic bike ride then.
Oh, jeez.
Race, stuff like that.
I'm trying to think of a good crazy one. Oh, I remember once I was out training back home.
In Canada.
This is when I was younger, I think it was maybe 20, 21 or something at the time. And I was just, and it was when I was actually at university at the time. So I was in a town where I didn't have any family and like none of my friends had a car or anything like that. And I was kind of far. I was maybe 70K away from home and this fucking storm blew in, man. And it was like, okay, I've ridden in wind before. You couldn't ride. Like I was getting blown off the road into the ditch and it was fucking like howling wind and hail and everything like this. So I remember I fucking just hid in a ditch and waited on the side of the road until I saw a car come in and I just hitchhiked. So I put my thumb up. I don't know what you guys call it in Denmark, but like when you put your thumb up
and hitchhike.
And it was this old farmer and I just like threw my bike in the back of his pickup and he just drove me into town. And he ended up like...
How'd you get home then?
He drove me into town. And then like whatever, I rode like the last 2K home from there. But it was one of those small world things because he ended up being the nephew of one of my professors that I had like a current class with.
Yeah.
Because we were just whatever chit-chatting on the ride back. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I'm a student and whatever. He's like, oh, do you know, I forget the professor's name. Do you know what's his face? And yeah. So, yeah, that was a crazy day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a couple, but yeah.
What is your hate race to do?
This one is easy. It's Schelderpris. Sorry, not Schelderpris. Depane.
You know, in Denmark, because it's Drie Dages i Depane.
Yeah.
That kind of sounds like when you're saying Danish, three hits on the head.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's actually
on my cover picture, I think.
It might as well be.
And that's why it's there, because that's some kind of lingo we have in Denmark. And it is always three hits in the head to do that race.
It's funny because it's still called 3 days Tapana, but now it's a 1 day race.
It's just 1 day. It's just 1 day of miserable.
Oh, but like it's just like you're just on all these tiny Belgium roads and it's just shit.
It's actually quite a cool race.
It's a cool race.
Because you do the Demuden and you do laps.
Yeah, but
and
you do like these laps at the end where at one point you like turn and there's like these streetcar tracks that you're going in the same direction as.
Yeah,
which
like railroads. Yeah.
Like most cyclists know like the streetcar tracks or the railroads.
Luckily, I only did it like that one time, but I crashed as well.
But they're the exact size of your tire.
Yeah.
So if you go in it, you're fucked.
Eight tracks all over.
It's like crazy. And then you go through like this suburb and there's just like curbs and corners and all this shit. And there's this one, Demuren.
Demuren,
Where like the trees are literally growing sideways because there's so much crosswind there.
Yeah.
Obvious race, man. I remember even like the last time I did it, I remember at one point, because you're just on these tiny roads and I got caught out at the back at one point and there's this one corner and I'm literally stopped with my foot on the ground because there's like a traffic jam going around this corner. And I look around the corner and there's Quickstep with like six of their guys like sprinting at full team time trial.
Yeah. And you're almost standing still and waiting.
I'm literally standing still and I'm like around the racing corner. These guys.
Yeah.
And they're all together. At least like I'm still in the peloton, but they're somehow a minute ahead of me.
There you're just a spectator in your own race.
Like, it's just like I'm like, I'll get dropped now.
There's no point chance. In actually, at that point, you can just turn around and go back.
Yeah, you might as well.
You're never going to see them again until the finish line.
No, this race is, what a race. But yeah.
It's a classic Belgian race. Yeah. So we hit half an hour mark there. Next for you and for me is a small training camp.
Yeah.
In the Alps after this race.
Mm-hmm.
With the big dog Froome, it's gonna be fun. But first, we have to finish Dauphiné.
Yeah, we'll finish up Dauphiné, and then it'll be fun. We're gonna head up. It's actually pretty close by to the Dauphiné. We just drive there the day after, and we'll be there. I think a week and a half, and do some good training. And
yeah. So, thank you, Alex, for doing this short podcast, uncut podcast, one take, and. Maybe we'll do a proper one later at some time.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Matt.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.